we're on the eve of the great fast. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, we'll be in Great Lent. The church gives us really three themes on this Sunday before Great Lent starts. The theme of fasting, we call it cheese fair, goodbye to cheese, dairy, fish, eggs for the duration of the Great Lent. And we had a little reading in the Gospel about fasting. And then the second theme is the expulsion of Adam and Eve. It's not expressed in the Gospel reading, but it's the main theme of the hymnography that we had last night. For those of you who were here last night in the vigil service, the hymnography was all about Adam and Eve being cast out of paradise. And then the third theme, of course, is forgiveness. It's Forgiveness Sunday. And at following Vespers, for us here to be tonight at 5, we'll have the rite of forgiveness. We enter into Great Lent with this theme of forgiveness. So we have these three themes: fasting, the expulsion of Adam and Eve, and forgiveness. Let's start with expulsion of Adam and Eve, the casting out of Adam and Eve from paradise. Lots of things that one could reflect on this, but if you listen to the hymns last night, the overwhelming content of the hymns is weeping and lamenting, tears and contrition. Overwhelming. A little bit about creation, a little bit about eating the fruit, but overwhelmingly about this tremendous sorrow. And not even primarily about sorrow for having sinned. A little bit of that. But the imagery is always there outside the gates of paradise, and the weeping and sorrow is that they're profoundly aware of what they're missing. They don't belong outside of paradise. They weren't created to be outside of paradise. This tremendous weeping and sorrow for what they've lost, because the memory of where they belong is so vivid. I think the very simplest way for us to think about Great Lent is that we've forgotten what paradise is like. We live in this world and we think this is just all there is. We're perfectly happy here. In fact, we're quite attached to this place. We think we fit right in. Sure, lots of ways we know we don't fit in, and we think that there's something that ought to be changed and the world's not quite right. But that overwhelmingly powerful, profound sense that our citizenship is in heaven, that we belong in paradise, that our life here is just in this fallen world, is just as pilgrims. That the created world, however beautiful and profoundly gifted it is to us, is still out of whack. These are themes that have been resonating through us in the last 3 weeks. The parable of the prodigal son is exactly like this. The prodigal son casts himself out of his father's house, leaves the father's house. This is what Adam and Eve did. Goes into a faraway place, ends up eating the food with the pigs. And then he finally stops running. Up to this point, he had forgotten what life was like in the father's house. But it says he comes to himself, and he remembers what life is like in his father's house. He remembers. So Lent is the time in which we stop running and we try to remember what life is like in the father's house, in paradise, where we belong, where what we are created for. We've been singing now for several weeks the psalm, By the Waters of Babylon. In the first line of that psalm is, by the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. The same tears of Adam and Eve. People of Israel had these tears because they were also cast out of their land of Israel and taken to Babylon as slaves, as captives. They don't belong. They said, we don't belong here. This isn't our home. And how does that first line end? By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. And so Great Lent is simply this time for remembering Zion, the city of the great king, where we belong, paradise, what we were created for. And that really is why it is, in the most practical and simple way, that we emphasize fasting. Fasting from foods, but really fasting from all kinds of unnecessary activities, all sorts of entertainments, electronic devices, and vacations, and activities, and big decisions. Don't make big decisions during Great Lent. Don't sell a house or buy a house. Don't change jobs. Just don't do that kind of stuff. It's all a big distraction. So we set aside, we fast from the things, not because they're bad. The food that we fast from is perfectly fine, good, healthy food. And the things that we fast from with our activities, perfectly fine activities. But so often they become part of that haze, that fog, mental fog, that clouds our thinking and encourages us to forget where we belong. And so the church asks us to take some time to set aside, distance ourselves from some of the good things that God has created in this world, just like Adam and Eve were asked to resist this good fig on this fig tree. God created it. Everything he created was good. The fig tree was good, but it wasn't for them. It was an opportunity for them to say, Lord, I love you more than I love your creation. And when we fast from things that are good things that God created in this world, it's God's opportunity for us to say, Lord, I love you more than I love the things that you created. And so this fast, in all of the different ramifications, not just from food, is this way in which we're letting God know that really that we want our eyes opened. We want to be able to see more clearly. And so we're just going to voluntarily set aside these things and let him know by choice, by pure volition. We're not going to engage in practices or eat certain types of foods because we want him to know that we love him more than these things in this world. Really, we need to do it so that we ourselves come to realize that that's what we want. We long to love God more than we long to love the things of this world. And then finally, the theme of forgiveness. When we stand outside the gates of paradise, the only entryway back in is through forgiveness. Many of you are here often known, and just in case it's new to you, if you were in the narthex looking here toward the east, you would see above the doors the icon of Christ with a little quote from John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10. It says, I am the door, Christ is the door, and on either side of the doorways are the angels who are guarding that doorway. But Christ has made the doorway open. He's opened the gates of paradise to us. He's made a way for us to enter back into the kingdom, the city of the great king, Zion. So when we walk through those doors from the narthex into the nave of the church, we really are entering back into paradise. This is paradise, surrounded by all of the saints. Throughout the generations have offered their life to Christ, and we long to make our life to be woven into that fabric of the church in which all of those saints' lives are woven into. And that happens through this profound sense of forgiveness. The sense of Christ coming to be with us in every aspect of our life, even in our death, so that everything that he touches is healed. That's what forgiveness is. His touch, healing the brokenness of this world. His touch, sort of transcending that gulf that we've created when we sin against God. He came out for us. We didn't come back for him. Adam and Eve went and hid behind a tree, and he went out and searched for them because the Good Shepherd goes out and searches for the lost sheep. We don't return. He comes and gets us. The reception of that forgiveness is simply our volitional willingness to be carried back into the kingdom back into paradise by him. He knocks at the door of our heart, but he waits for us to open it. That reception of forgiveness, of his forgiveness for us, so that we can enter into this paradise, we're told in today's gospel as a commentary on the Lord's Prayer, which we read, it's immediately preceding today's gospel, we read yesterday, that God will forgive us exactly as we forgive others. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So the simplest way in which we say yes to God's forgiveness of us is to release those who have in any way harmed or hurt or offended us. That's responding to the pouring out of love into our heart by Christ, by the people that God himself has created and put in front of us. We respond to God by responding to the people that he's placed in front of us. That's the doorway into the kingdom. The people that God's put in our life that we need to forgive. And so, in these ways, in the coming six, seven weeks of Great Lent and Holy Week, we will be filled with the content of the church and the church services, all reminders of where it is that we truly belong. Constantly encouraged to set aside those things that are distracting us from our true home, and constantly inviting us to forgive those that God has placed in our life so that we might enter in to the fullness of that forgiveness that God has for us. And then just the reminder that we do this for these 7 weeks every year, not because 7 weeks is enough, but because this is really our training session, our boot camp. This is how it is that we're to live our life throughout the whole year. But we practice this intensely now so that it might take root in us, inform us, and shape us, and it might allow us to live the days of Pascha and the days of Pentecost in the coming year with the same longing for paradise, the same offering of ourselves to God in the things that we forsake in this world, and the same gift of forgiveness to all those that God puts in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.